I want you to know that we have strict councils that tell us do not come to church every Sabbath expecting a sermon. Now for me that's difficult because I like to preach. But when the Lord speaks, you listen. And so I'm going to walk you through an entirely different service today, a preaching service today, and I'm asking for your full cooperation. At first, you may be somewhat uncomfortable and maybe even feel denied or abused or that you were let down by the fact that there was no sermon. But if you focus and do what I ask you to do, you may leave here more blessed than you've left ever any preaching service you've ever been at. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this moment. And I want it now to dovetail with the blessings that you have already poured out upon us during Sabbath school and in the beginning of our church service. I want to be faithful to what you have led me to do, the idea that you gave me. And I want it to make the greatest impact, Lord. In fact, my heart is aching. For even with all my knowledge I have, I struggle. How much more are my people struggling? So I pray that you make a breakthrough this morning. And I pray that you use me in a way you've never done before because it's you and it isn't me. So pour out your Spirit now. Reveal yourself. And Lord, I want you to block Satan. I want you to keep him out of here. Because I want what you wanted to accomplish to be accomplished today. So take control with your mighty angels that excel in strength and that keep your commands. Come down in the droves, Lord, and put their arms across their chest and surround this entire property and don't even let them touch with their toe. So blessed to this end and thank you in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to take a quick look at this quote, which some of you have seen already, but the rest of you need to see it. This is from the book Education 198. Now listen carefully to what it says. This will set the stage for what I'd like you to do. In daily study, the verse-by-verse method is often most helpful. Let the student take one verse and concentrate the mind on ascertaining the thought that God has put into that verse for him. You know what that means? Do you know what that means? That in every single verse of the Bible, there's a special thought that God included in His mind when He moved upon His prophets to write down this sacred text. And that when you were to focus your mind on a text and say literally, Lord, send the Spirit to teach me and to capture the thought that you put in this text for me, He'll do it. And guess what? It won't be the same one as mine. So the verse-by-verse method is often the best way to study your Bible. Let the student concentrate his mind on the verse until he captures the thought that God has put in that verse for him and then dwell upon it until it becomes your own. Until you see yourself in the text. Until you begin to realize what is God saying to you. Not what is God saying to my pastor so that when I come to church he's going to say something neat. Although I appreciate you praying for me constantly. No. What are you trying to tell me, Lord? And then I'll guarantee the preacher will get up and he'll say something without knowing it's exactly what God said to you. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. Take this text. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to memorize it. Take this text. Why doesn't this thing work? Oh, yeah. Didn't even notice that. Okay, there's the text, Psalms 46:10. I want you to dwell upon it, recite it, think about it, memorize it, 5 minutes. I know you're going to go, wait a minute, we're going to sit here for 5 minutes during the worship service and be quiet? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, I do understand that this will be hard on those of you who are watching live on the internet or at some time in the future when you bring this file back up, or if you're watching it on UHF Channel 43 here in Las Vegas. But I want you to do exactly what I'm instructed the church to do. Take another 3-4 minutes and memorize this text. Look at it carefully and ask God to tell you what is the thought that God has put in it for you. Do you notice that as you approach this method of studying the Bible, that it makes you think, what is God saying to me? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Lord, what are you saying to me? What lesson can I take from this text that'll make me a better Christian, that'll help me deal with the life that I'm facing right now? The circumstances, situations, trials, fears. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Let me show you a couple things. First of all, the word still in the Hebrew is rapha, to slacken, literally and physically, figuratively. Whether it's literal term or a physical or a figurative setting, it means to slacken, to cease. Let be. How's this? Give up. Be still. And here's the beauty of digging into a text. I discovered something I never knew before last night. It's in the imperative. What does that mean if it's in the imperative? It's a verb in the Hebrew that's an imperative. That means what? Imperative. A command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. Here it says, be still. And know that I am God. And then we look at the other word, know. And you've heard, have you ever heard somebody say yada, yada, yada? Okay, there's your Hebrew for know. And by the way, that word yada stands for all kinds of different variations of the word know. But for us, it's properly to ascertain by seeing. And the implication is something that you focus on. Be still. Cease. Let be. Let go. And focus. Be still and know that I am God. And then the word exalt. I will be exalted. In the Greek rendition of this Hebrew text, the verb the translators used, the Israelite translators used, was a future passive indicative first person singular. Okay? Exalted. And let me tell you why I wanted you to see this. first person singular means it is God speaking Himself. First person. Singular. I want you to be still. And I want you to know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the nations. And I will be exalted on the earth. And what's interesting, it's the passive voice. Now, there's active and passive in the English. There's active and passive also in the Greek. But in the Greek, as in English, passive means not that the action is done by the subject, but it's done for the subject. And who's the subject? God. If you do this, here's what I'll receive. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted on earth. Isn't that incredible? Now, if we were not in church, I would stop and let you ponder that thought. And I'd even ask you to turn to the person sitting by you and tell them the idea that God gave you from this text, and that person tell you, and then pray together. But I'm not going to do that yet. I'm going to do that in the next section. But I want you to think about this. What is God saying to you? Be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. For I'm now going to show you a quote out of the book Education. Now, those of you who know me well know that I will use the spirit of prophecy, but I use it very sparingly. When you see this quote, you will know that there is impossible, no way to use this without giving you the whole quote. In your bulletins, you have this blue sheet of paper. I want you to take it out right now. I wondered how many, out of curiosity, read this. For those of you who don't have one, I've got some extras. I want you to raise your hand if you didn't get one, or somebody else got the bulletin, you didn't, and you don't have this sheet. I want you to have a sheet. Here's some hands here. Here they come. You got them, Larry? I got hands up here. Here, Ron, I'll give you this one. I want everybody to have one. Give the children. Please make sure the children have one. Raise your hands. No, I probably need one. Everybody have those? Any more extras? Here's some more hands over here. What I want you to do is take this quote. I'm going to read through it in a second. I want you to take this quote and I want you to do exactly the same thing. It'll be a little more difficult because it's such a large quote. But when you see the context of this quote, folks, this is the point of our existence right now in the last days of Earth's history in which we're living. And you will, God will speak to you in a way He never did before. I want you to look at this quote and determine what thought does God have in it for you. I do not want you to leave the sanctuary until you've discovered that God said something to you. I need one. Robert, I gave mine away. Okay, let's have the first slide and notice the quote. Here it is. An intensity such as never before was seen is taking possession of the world. In amusement, in money making, in the contest for power, in the very struggle for existence, there is a terrible force that engrosses the body, the mind, and the soul. In the midst of this maddening rush, God is speaking. He bids us to come apart and commune with Him. And what does He say? Be still and know that I am God. Say it again. Be still and know that I am God. In the midst of this maddening rush, God is speaking. He is saying to us, come apart and commune with me. I want you to be still and I want you to know that I am God. Many, even in their season of devotion, fail of receiving the blessing of real communion with God. I need the next slide. They are what? They are what? In too great a haste. Are you listening? Folks, I am speaking to myself. I wake up in the morning, my mind is going, we can do this program, we could do that program, we need to fix this, we need to fix that. And God is saying, Peter, this church was here before you got here, it will be after you leave, calm down, I'm taking charge. You need to come and spend some time with me. You mothers with little children, I'm going to tell you to get up early in the morning and study your Bible. You're going to look at me and, Pastor, you want my crying baby who cries all night, every 2 hours I have to feed him? So what is God saying to the mother with the little baby? Find the time during the day or night in which you can accomplish this, but don't not do it. Fit it to your schedule. Who are you? How do you work? We're in too great a haste. With hurried steps, we press through the circle of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps for a moment, listen, within the sacred precincts of divinity, passing through for a moment, like a shower. Oh, I'm done. But what does it say? But not waiting for counsel. So you sit down in the shower, folks. I need counsel. We're in too great a haste. All of us are being overwhelmed. It's happening. It happens to me. These workers... Oh, excuse me. There is no time to remain with the divine teacher because you're so busy. Can you imagine that? With their burdens, they return to their work. These workers can never attain the highest success until they learn the secret of strength. Okay, did you catch that? What did I say? Secret of strength. What is the secret of strength? They must give themselves time to think, to pray, and to wait upon God for the renewal of physical, mental, and spiritual power. They need the uplifting influence of His Spirit. Receiving this, they will be quickened by fresh life. The weary frame and the tired brain will be refreshed. The burdened heart will be lightened. Not a pause for a moment in His presence, but personal contact with Christ to sit down in companionship with Him. This is our need. I want you to look at this quote. For our viewers at home, go to the next slide, and that's the whole quote for them. All of you here have this card. I want you to look at it. What is God saying to you? Let's take a couple minutes to do that. Be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the nations. And I will be exalted in the earth. If my people would come to understand the secret of strength. By the way, what strength are we talking about? What strength? Spiritual strength, folks. The only thing that's going to get us through the crisis that we're facing, which, by the way, is only going to increase in intensity. When will my people learn the secret of strength? When will they realize they need the uplifting influence of the Spirit? When will they begin to practice not pressing through the sacred precincts of His presence because we have so much to get done, so much to do, or we're overworked, overburdened, over fearful, over anxious? And we have no renewal of mental, physical, or spiritual power. And with our burdens, we return to work. Not a pause for a moment in His presence, but personal contact with Christ to sit down in companionship with Him, this is our need. Friends, what are you facing? What is it you're dealing with? For everybody in here, it's different. I want you to know that here is what we all need to cope and to overcome what we're facing. I look out and I see individuals here who are close to losing their houses, who have been out of work a long time. And I try to think, Lord, what can I say? What can I do? And it keeps coming back to me, nothing. I think of the Wilford family at home with Brandon in a half comatose state. At 25 with brain cancer, what do I say to them? And here's the secret. I can say to them, I don't understand, but Jesus does. I don't know what to do, but Jesus does. And you've got to go to Him. Yes, I'll go to Him in your behalf. In fact, our prayer group, every Wednesday, we pray over for these people, all of you. But you also need to go into that sacred presence. And in so doing, this church will exude such power and presence that this will be definitely a hospital for sinners. They'll come here because they'll not be afraid. They won't feel condemned. They won't feel ridiculed. And they'll sense that there's some solution here to a problem that they're facing. Friends, take this and get it in there. Eat it and swallow it. Let it become part of you. Let's be a church that's devotional. You know, many of the young adults who may be perusing the internet, find our church, see our service, say, just another institution. This isn't another institution. This is a church full of vibrant young people, young adults who are actively involved. Why? Because they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not serving an organization. But the Reformation starts within, folks, and works out. So I plead with you as you listen to Joseph right now to ponder the text in this quote and tell me, what is God saying to you? Brothers and sisters, I want you to ponder the task assigned to you today. And I want you to know that God is waiting to put His arms around you no matter what you're facing. And that there are people outside the walls of this church who have no one to turn to and they don't know where to go. And that's why we're here. So I'm going to ask you before I finish praying here, after I'm done praying, I'm going to ask you to sit down and you'll be dismissed by the ushers. But I'm going to ask that those that feel the presence of the Lord speaking to you yet, don't get up and leave. Ponder even longer the scripture or the quote and make sure you got the thought that God has. And if there's anybody who have been impressed by the Lord that you need prayer, I'm here and the elders will be here. We want to pray with you. And maybe there's someone here who's never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm telling you right now, this is the time. And you need to stay by. And you need to come and tell me or one of our elders that you did. And maybe there's someone here who needs to be baptized. You've been delaying, fighting. You've been doubting. You've been believing other things. But God is calling. It's time to surrender. So those of you who decide to leave, and some of you will have legitimate reasons to leave, I just ask that you go quietly. And those that want to remain, remain, and I'll be right here, and some of the elders will be here. Anything we can do, pray with you, talk with you, encourage you, we'd like to do that. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for speaking so loud and clear to us in a little different way today. And I thank you that you brought this whole thing to the forefront, Lord, because you want to spend time with us. There are people in the sanctuary, Lord, that may be saying, "Why would you want to spend time with me?" And only the eternal God in heaven has that answer. Because you love us. Though we don't understand it, we need to accept it by faith and then practice getting to know you better and no longer being in too great haste. So Lord, touch each heart right now. Do not let them leave this sanctuary until they have made up their mind to something that you brought to their attention. And then make us the church you want us to be so that we can be faithful to you and your calling and bring honor to your name instead of ours. So work now to this end, Lord. And thank you, you heard this prayer and you will answer it. In fact, you already answered it because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International Copyright 2010. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.